Robert Keegan's subject-object theory is perhaps the most elegant formulation of the actual architecture of development. So I want to spend a little bit of time unpacking it just to help flesh it out a little bit more. The PDF there is for you to look at as a cheat sheet of sorts that helps you kind of chew on and metabolize this material. Because if you understand the core dynamics of development, you're peering into really the inner architecture of the mind in a sense. In particular, how the mind can develop. So let me just dive in and unpack some of this subject-object theory. On the left-hand column under subject, you'll see it says elements of our knowing and organizing of experience that we are. So let's just presume that you are in the third order of consciousness, or you're in the socialized mind. Now, what does that mean? It means that the subjectivity that you are, that actually holds and possesses you, is your loyalties, right? So we can think of the socialized mind as the loyalties that actually hold and govern your behavior and action in the world. Now, when you are that socialized mind, when you are these social loyalties, you cannot be responsible for them. You cannot be in control of them, and you certainly can't even reflect on them. They are what Keegan calls absolute. They are subjective dimensions of experience that are immediate, and there is no mediated part of experience yet. So part of the problem is that when loyalties govern us, when they hold us, what ends up happening is proximity, either physical or emotional proximity to somebody, actually determines which loyalty we act out. One of my favorite examples that Robert Keegan outlines in his book, In Over Our Heads, it describes a couple who's about to get married. And presumably, the soon-to-be wife is out and about running errands or doing work. And the soon-to-be husband, hopefully, is on the phone with his mother. Now, this phone call is actually creating an emotional proximity that creates a loyalty to mom. And it's kind of wearing down on him because he knows that he's supposed to be loyal to his soon-to-be wife. But in the moment, he actually starts to lose contact with that broader inner directing, more self-authoring facility, and his loyalty to mom starts to take over. And what they're discussing is the plans for summer vacation. And mom is describing how her and her husband don't have any plans for the summer. And she is then inquiring, well, what are your plans for the honeymoon, and so on and so forth. And to make a long story short, she starts to make some covert bids to her son, like, wouldn't it be great if we could all, you know, go on this honeymoon together? Now, the more fourth order part of this man, it knows that he should be loyal to his wife, and it's actually something for them to share together that's for just them. But as this part starts to wash away, he hasn't firmly set his developmental roots into fourth order yet, and so the proximity of his relationship with mom starts to take over. And just because he's in conversation with his mom, and presumably they may be thousands of miles apart, but there's an emotional closeness that's being created by the phone call. And mom is making a bid for them to actually go on the honeymoon together. That's what she's rallying for, this agenda that, wow, wouldn't it be great if we could all be together as family, and we could, after the wedding, we could all get together and go someplace special and get some quality time together and be together as a family. And the part of this soon-to-be husband that knows not to do this, that part has gotten smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller, and finally dissolved away, and it's actually gone. It's not a part of his awareness anymore, and he's totally been drawn back into that he is his loyalty. His subjectivity is fused with, merged with, identified as a loyalty to the people around him. And in this moment, when that takes hold of him with his mom, it's only a matter of time before he says, you know what, mom, why don't you guys come with? And that's essentially what ends up happening, is that he acquiesces to these emotional bids. And because he's identified with his socialized mind, he's simply acting out his loyalty to his mother and to his parents. Now, we all know what happens when his fiancée returns back. And again, the emotional proximity of that relationship now takes hold. And now we've got this situation where he's made an invitation to mom and dad. And at the same time, he also is now feeling, oh, wait a minute, I need to be first and foremost loyal to my soon-to-be wife. And this is our time together to celebrate our marriage and step into a new life together. And as you, I'm sure you could guess, she's profoundly upset and disturbed with this. And he then gets pulled back into that loyalty. And of course, starts to align his attention and energy and behavior in accordance with that loyalty when she's closer in proximity. So this is all just to say that the socialized mind, again, returning back to your PDF, when you are your loyalties, you actually can't quite be responsible for them. And you can't quite be in control of your loyalties. And you can't really even reflect on them with tremendous amount of clarity, if at all. And so we have this dilemma. And this is part of the challenge of the socialized mind, is that we find ourselves pushed and pulled by relationships in many different ways. And it becomes an immense stressor. Now, once fourth order comes along, right? So there's a new subjective seat, and we're actually identified with our inner directing, self-authoring faculties. We can't see them as an object yet. We're identified as them. But that new seat of subjectivity creates new objects, and at least one of the new objects that can be seen is this feature of the socialized mind. So third order, in a sense, becomes an object. And because it becomes an object, now I can actually see the loyalty, right? And I can reflect on, or I can look at the loyalty that's actually tugging on me with relationships. So in our scenario, the man who's had this bid from mom, he can actually look at it. He can reflect on it. He can handle it and manage it in certain ways. He can take control of his loyalty and decide, am I going to be loyal to my own personal agenda? Am I going to be loyal to my soon-to-be wife? How am I going to be loyal to mom and dad in this moment? These are all now questions that can arise in consciousness. And this is the first time that I can actually be responsible for which loyalties I act out or don't act out. And so this enables me to operate upon them, right? So now, instead of loyalties have me, subject, loyalties are something that I possess. And then instead of them being absolute, now loyalties are now a relative part of my experience. They're now an objective dimension that I can mediate, control, or operate upon. And so here we can see these basic fundamental architecture of human development that shows itself when we transition from subject to object.